Welcome to the Hometown Bluegrass Show weekly podcast presented by Allen Music Shop. Co-hosts Tim Batts and 20-time Bluegrass Guitar Player of the Year Josh Williams will talk about the latest bluegrass news, interview folks in the industry, and give you lighthearted stories and music tips along the way. Now, here's Tim and Josh.
Hey, hey, everybody.
Hey.
How's everybody doing out there in podcast land? I am your host of the Hometown Bluegrass Show, Tim Batts, along with the favorite co-host I've ever had, Josh Williams.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh,
thank
you. You're the only co-host I've ever had, but other than
that. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
The crowd's going wild for sure.
No, thank you. Thank you.
No, it's crazy.
Yep.
There it is.
There it is. There we go.
Thank you. Thank you. You had to add that too, didn't you?
Well, of course. Absolutely. Absolutely. This is our 40th podcast episode.
Woo, big 4-0.
Yeah, the big 4-0, man.
Over the hill.
We are cruising right along and having a blast. Had I was talking to Teresa Anglin last night via text about some graphic stuff about you know, y'all's fundraiser you're doing and everything. And she was like, her and Mike, she was going on and on about how she loved our podcast. She said, when they get in the truck, the first thing they do is put our podcast on.
That's awesome.
I know it. So I'm like, seriously? She said, yeah. So if you don't know, of course, Mike Anglin plays bass with Josh at Southern Legacy.
Yes.
And his wife, Teresa, and they're just such sweet people. And she does a lot of promotion, I think, for you guys.
She does. Yes. She does a lot.
She really pushes Southern Legacy and does all y'all's graphics and all that stuff. She's really talented at all that. And she was talking to me about our podcast logo and things, and she was going to try to help promote us as well through the fundraiser and all. But she said she's actually learned something from us, like learned lots of things.
Really?
That she didn't know. Yeah. I said, well, you should be in the room when we're recording. You'd learn a lot more. Oh, man. But anyway, I thought that was
some
funny.
Some things don't need to be learned.
I know. Exactly. Yeah. But
that's funny.
But thank you, Mike and Teresa Anglin, for listening.
Huge, yeah.
And,
thanks, guys.
Being big fans. So can't wait to get you guys down to the Kentucky Opry. We're going to do our fundraiser for the Jackson Purchase Friends of Bluegrass in December. I think it's December the 6th, first Friday.
Yes.
In Bluegrass, so Southern Legacy will be at the Kentucky Opry along with Colton Baker, and he plays bass with Russell Moore in Third Time Out, and he's putting a band together and going to play, and then Southern Legacy will play, and we're going to raise money for the Hurricane Helene victims in Western North Carolina and try to direct those funds to right there to Haywood County area, and that's one of the areas that was hit really hard. So looking forward to a good night of making music and making money and making memories. So
easy for you to say.
Yeah, no doubt. That's lots of M's.
It is.
So anyway.
You did a good job on it, though, I will say. I probably would not have done that.
Oh, I don't know. Well, you had a good week. You didn't play anywhere this week, did you?
No, I had the old chillings.
Yeah?
And, me and the kids hung out. And, of course, Bluegrass Night was Friday night, at the Kentucky Opry. And I went there with my oldest, and then my mom went and picked up the other, my smallest, my youngest, but my daughter went with her, and then they met us there at the Opry, so pretty fun evening. And then the next day, we went over to Mayfield, Kentucky, and went to Amazing Farms and went into the corn maze. And
did you get lost?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've seen pictures of that place. It looks pretty confusing there.
It is. And it's funny because this year, and it was the first year they've been able to do it, but the path actually had grass.
Really?
Yeah. It was real nice. And the very back of the area had Donald Trump. Was one of the shapes that they had made. And then the next one to it was Kamala Harris or Kamala or Kamala, whatever her name is.
Yeah.
Kalama.
Yeah, something.
And
Harris.
Yes. And then underneath that, they had the White House. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Huh. You know?
And then they had the big Pepsi logo, which, of course, you can't see this stuff when you're walking through it.
Right.
You know? But from an aerial view, you see it, you know.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
I would always wonder how they do that kind of stuff. Like, how do they make it look so real? And then, I don't know. I have no clue.
Well, you know they got to plant a certain way in order to make that work.
Well, yeah.
You know?
That's crazy.
How? Can't just go through and mow it down.
I guess not.
Well, I guess you could, but yeah. It seems...
Well, Weldon, you know, so, you know, I talked to Weldon Friday night at the Opry, and he was looking all spazzy in his cowboy hat and all that. And,
oh, yeah. That was my cowboy hat.
Was it?
Yeah. He's wearing my clothes now. That's weird.
That is crazy. But I asked him how it felt to be famous after singing on the Hometown Bluegrass Show podcast. So.
What did he say?
Oh, he didn't say much. I think he was embarrassed.
Yeah, probably.
But, man, he's getting so big.
Oh, I know it, man.
He's so tall, and it's crazy.
Well, he'll be 14 next month in December.
He's going to be tall like you.
Oh, yeah.
Sucker going to be over 6 foot. It just pisses me off. I never did make 6 foot.
Did you not?
No.
You're close.
I got close, but then I think I'm shrinking now.
Well, that actually happens. To
that's
a lot of people.
I was always like 5'11", 5'11 and a half, and I was so close. And then now I think I'm just an inch shorter than that even. So.
Yeah. My dad was always 5'8", his whole life.
Really?
And, well, not his whole life. He was a kid at one point, you know. So. But you know what I mean. I digress.
I got you. He wasn't born 5'8".
Yes. Gee, could you imagine?
Woo!
Wow.
Your grandmother, geez.
Oh, she was. Yeah. So anyway.
Anyway.
He was always, you know, 5'8", and always just a little bit taller than my mom, and who was 5'7", you know, which especially... she was born in 1950, so during that time, that's a tall for a woman, too, you know? And, but anyway, 2012, Dad got sick, ended up having a abscess of infection in his hip, and, I mean, that he got septic the whole nine yards, and he was in Vanderbilt for a full month, and then spent another month in a... rehabilitation hospital, you know, to get him moving again. But after that happened, he was not even 5'6" anymore. Like, it, whatever it was, and it could have been just because, you know, he was, you know, hunkered up or whatever, but
that's crazy.
It is crazy. You know, it was like most people didn't even notice, you know, but because we see him every day, we were like, something's wrong.
Yeah, you know? No doubt. Well, I wonder how you got to be so tall with your parents.
I don't know. My dad always said that he was on the road a lot, and
that explains.
Yeah, but
the mailman was really tall.
Yeah, could have been. No, actually, my mom Terry, her family were pretty tall. She had a brother who was 6'4".
Wow, that's
crazy. When he got to be an adult. So, yeah, that's where I get it from, is mom's side of the family.
Yeah, well, cool. Well, not a whole lot happening in bluegrass news this week. This is the first week of November 2024. It's hard to believe.
Oh, my gosh, I know.
So this year's just flying by.
Birthday month, though.
Oh, is your birthday month?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what day is your birthday?
The 20th.
Oh, man. My birthday's on the 20th, too, but it's March.
Ah.
First day of spring, but that's cool, man. How old are you going to be, 46?
44.
Yes. Oh, I was giving you more maturity than you deserved.
Oh, yeah.
That's
all good.
Well, that's cool. Well, in Banjo Radio countdown this week, I got the email. The top song in Bluegrass this week is our old buddies with Authentic Unlimited, Ruby Ann. So I got
Ruby
the,
Ann.
Top song, and they also made the cover of Bluegrass Today magazine.
Came Bluegrass in the mail Unlimited. Today,
our Bluegrass Unlimited magazine that came in today. So, we just had John Mitter on last week and had a fun time with him. So,
we did. I really enjoyed that. He's such a nice fella. You know?
He is. Great time. Real excited about our guest on this episode. We've got the voice of bluegrass music coming up a little bit later.
That's good. That's
Mr.
awesome.
Mr. Russell Moore.
That's right. Russell's going to join us here in a little while.
Yeah. Tell him I said that. He was the voice of bluegrass music.
We'll definitely say
some brownie points.
Yeah. There you go.
But so excited to talk to Big Russ and see what he's up to and kind of winding down the year a little bit. I think they're pretty much done with dates for the year, so he should be all relaxed and ready to chat with us. I'm sure you two have great stories to tell, so I can't wait for that. So,
oh, yeah.
And we had a good a request sent in on the Facebook page, the Hometown Bluegrass Show Facebook page. Somebody sent in, so I don't know if Josh is going to try that or not, but we'll throw it out there and see if it sticks.
Well, what is it?
It's Old Brown Suitcase.
Old Brown Suitcase.
Yeah. So you know that song?
Oh, my gosh. I recorded that in 2004.
Holy Shiite Muslim. That's a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Old Brown Suitcase.
I believe it might have been about 20 years ago.
That's pretty close.
Yeah.
What key did you do that in?
D.
The key of D. Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see if you can remember how that song goes. And
I'll give it a shot. Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, who cares? Mr. Bo Dave Hall wrote in and said, man, I would love to hear Old Brown Suitcase.
So, I bet you would.
Yep, so we'll see if we can make that happen. So
yeah, we'll try it.
Yep, but excited coming up to hear Josh teach us how to play that song and talk to Russell Moore after that. And we're just so grateful for our two newest sponsors that have come on board, Banjo Ben Clark. So excited to have Banjo Ben in the general store. So if you go to banjoben.com, you can get 10% off your order there. And just use the promo code Hometown, and then also our new sponsor, Paige Capo. So we're going to have a question for you here in just a little bit, and we're going to ask you a question, and we're going to ask you to give us the answer to that Friday morning when the podcast comes out, and I share the link on our Facebook page. The first one to answer that question gets a free Paige Capo. So
that's right.
That's a pretty good deal.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no doubt. So we will take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll get on to some more excitement right here on the Hometown Bluegrass Show.
Yeah.
Allen Music, located in historic downtown Paducah, Kentucky, is your source for fine guitars and all types of acoustic instruments. At Allen Music, we are experienced and enthusiastic players of everything we offer. Allen Music is family-owned and has been serving musicians since 1976. So stop by and thank them for supporting Bluegrass Music. Allen Music, 215 Kentucky Avenue, downtown Paducah, or check them out online at allenmusicshop.com.
Custom Automotive in Calvert City, Kentucky has been a family-operated business for over 50 years. When you call Custom Automotive, you'll talk to an experienced tire and wheel expert. They install wheels and tires on thousands of vehicles every year in addition to their online sales. Stop by and thank them for supporting Bluegrass Music. Custom Automotive, Highway 62, Calvert City, Kentucky, 270-395-7611. Or visit them online at customautoonline.com.
The Lake House Inn at Sled Creek has undergone complete renovation in 2023. Our outdoor space is unlike any other at Kentucky Lake. With two in-ground pools, 18 rooms, and four cabins, we're just a stone's throw away from Kentucky Dam. If you're looking to make memories with your family, this nostalgic inn is for you. Welcome to your lake house, where modern meets rustic and becomes home. Reserve online at lakehouseinn.com.
Howdy, friends. I'm Banjo Ben Clark, and you're listening to my good buddies, Tim Batts and Josh Williams, on the Hometown Bluegrass Show. You've tuned in because you like valuable conversation about the world's best music. And if you want more good stuff like that, come on over to my website, banjobenclark.com, where you can learn how to play and purchase anything you might need when it comes to bluegrass-related instruments and accessories. My Gold Pick members over there can access hundreds of lessons for banjo, guitar, and mandolin with all kinds of resources to help you move on down the road with your picking skills. And if you're looking to purchase something, the deals can't be beat at Banjo Ben's General Store. All there on the same website, banjobenclark.com. Now back to the show.
All right, banjobenclark.com. Be sure and check it out and put in the promo code Hometown and get yourself 10% off of your order. Almost anything on the website does exclude lessons. They do give music lessons there. You can do online lessons, which is really cool. And also, Josh gives lessons here locally at AllenMusicShop.com, downtown Paducah. So if you're looking to learn to play guitar, mandolin, banjo, ukulele, accordion, the spoons, or the washboard. He will.
The accordion might be an issue. Maybe a couple of days. Maybe I can get that figured out.
I have no doubt. But just go to AllenMusicShop.com and you can sign up for lessons with our buddy Josh Williams right here.
That's right.
Downtown Paducah, Kentucky.
So. And hoping before too long. In fact, the sooner the better. I'm not still not sure exactly when we're going to start this, but I'm going to talk with Brandon about you know, the possibility of getting it started and doing some online lessons from there. So,
oh yeah, wow, that'd
so
be
that'll
cool.
be yeah.
Well, that would I might keep you pretty busy there, so better watch out.
Well, maybe I can get like a bunch of people in on one lesson and then
big fat group lesson.
That's right,
big Skype group lessons. Hey, you never know.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, might be onto something there.
Might be, might not be.
That's right. So you gonna play a song that was sent in?
I'm gonna try.
You gonna try? You remember the words?
I haven't played this song. I bet in 10 years.
Probably hadn't thought about it in 10 even.
I mean that's really true. But it is a really good song, and there's so many people that used to ask for this because it's just a cool story song. You know, I mean, who would think you could write a song about an inanimate object like that, you know, a freaking suitcase. But yeah, I mean, it's a good song. Yeah. I will try. Dad bought it in Europe when the big war came to an end. Went north to work, so we got packed up again. It was with my mama, her first maternity stay. Threw things together in a hurry, I was well on the way. A brown suitcase, it's been around. Across the oceans, seen a lot of towns. Been through the best and worst of times. Held hopes and dreams when they were hard to find. Just like us, it's been place to place. Beat black and blue, that old brown suitcase. Kicked at the VA hospital cause brother couldn't cope. Scratched on a bedroom window when my sister eloped. I can't remember the words. Old brown suitcase, it's been around. Across the oceans, seen a lot of towns. Been through the best and worst of times. Held hopes and dreams when they were hard to find. Just like us, it's been place to place. Beat black and blue, that old brown suitcase. Can't think of it. It's only been about 15 years or 10 years. Old brown suitcase, it's been around. Across the oceans, seen a lot of towns, been through the best and worst of times. Held hopes and dreams when they were hard to find. Just like us, it's been place to place. Beat black and blue, that old brown suitcase. Beat black and blue, that old brown suitcase. There you go. Hey, you got most of it.
That ain't bad for being that long. Good Lord. Oh, man. That's awesome.
Can't remember them all.
That's right. Which surprises me because I thought you did remember them all.
So. Well, most of them I do, but
yeah,
every once in a while.
That's a lot. Then I was trying to find the lyric for you, and it was the wrong Old Brown Suitcase song. So
yeah, who'd have thought there'd been another one?
I know, exactly. But oh well. Well, good job, buddy. It sounded good anyway. So
well, thank you, and that's sorry that I botched it, you know, but hey.
No botch, man. Nothing you sing and play on that guitar is a botch, so sounding good.
Well, thank you. So we talked about last time, or before the commercial, about the question that we were going to ask.
Yes.
We should talk about last week's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. We did have a winner on that, and we're excited, if I don't butcher his name, but Jordan Phaneuf, Phaneuf, he was the first one to correctly answer that question.
I know we had a few that was super close.
Yeah, yeah. I was surprised. There were several people commenting in there, and they were kind of shooting all around it, and so... somebody said, learned it from Chris Thiele riding in the van. Chuck Scarson.
That's funny. Yeah. I actually didn't learn that from Chris, but the cool thing about it was when Chris and I started picking together, we realized that we were both huge fans of Burline Crary and Hickman. So we knew a lot of the same songs because of that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And... of course, he grew up out there really close to Byron and knew Byron well, knew all those guys. And I remember one year IBMA, and this was so long ago, it was still in Owensboro there on the river, and California was the name of the band. And it was Burline Crary and Hickman, and then they had Steve Spurgeon on bass and John Moore on mandolin. Great band. And... I remember going backstage and because I was just obsessed with John Hickman,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to meet him, you know, and I'll never forget it because we were backstage, or I got backstage and was waiting on him to come off, and I told him I wanted to meet him, and he said, okay, you know, and I told him that I played banjo, and somebody was like, hey, does he pick? And he said, that's what he says. He didn't want to be like, yeah, he's a picker, because, you know. But it ended up being really cool, and John and I became fast friends, you know, even mm-hmm. with the age difference, me being about 11 years old probably when that happened.
That's cool. That is cool.
Yeah, so that came off of, it was written by a guy named John Malcolm Penn, and it is a true story, by the way, Moonlight Mode Wren. I can't remember now what the highway is that goes from Palm Springs to Los Angeles, but there actually was a Moonlight Motor Inn on that stretch of highway, and the neon sign that they had for it was pointed the wrong direction.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. So that's all true. Wow. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. So, like, it was telling people the Moonlight Motor Inn was this way, but it wasn't. It was really the other way.
Yeah, because I mean, I guess it had fallen or whatever, and had done like that.
Oh,
so it was pointing across the street instead of to the hotel.
Oh, I got you. I got you. That's crazy.
Yeah,
that is so.
Well,
funny.
There wasn't anybody there to fix it either. Yeah. You know, and our neon sign points in the wrong direction. That's awesome. Apparently that was true. Had a lot of people tell me that. So I don't even know if it's still there or not. I'm sure they've probably, you know, dozed it down or whatever now. But. Yeah.
Well, can you you have a good question this week?
Oh, we should tell the answer, too, by the way, because we never did do that. The answer was the album that I learned this from was Burline, Crary, and Hickman, Now They Are Four. And it was Steve Spurgeon that joined them, and I know somebody had guessed Steve Spurgeon. That was very close. Yeah. And, but it was the album. It was actually a Burline, Crary, and Hickman album. And but they called it Now They Are Four.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool.
And pretty soon they became five.
Yeah.
Because they hired John Moore. And John was actually Chris Thiele's mandolin teacher.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But he's a horse whisperer in real life.
Huh. What does a horse whisperer do? Just talks to horses real life?
I don't know. Maybe he gets in its ear and says, hey, baby, what are you doing?
Did you know Chris Thiele has a new podcast? I just learned this
yesterday. Oh, does he?
Yeah. Yeah, he's trying to be like us.
Well, you know what? God bless him.
Yeah, it's called the Energy Curfew Music Hour.
I believe that's a good name.
Yeah, Chris Thiele and the Punch Brothers' new podcast. So, hey, we'll give a shout out to them, and maybe they'll return the favor.
Maybe.
Oh man, that's funny. So, what's our question going to be this week for the free capo, free page capo?
Well, I think the thing to do is, since somebody had asked about the song, who wrote Old Brown Suitcase?
Okay.
That is our question.
I will post the podcast link on our Facebook page first thing Friday morning, and you just watch for that and listen to the podcast, and when you hear this question, be the first one to put the answer on there, and you'll win a free page capo. Or $50 towards your purchase through PageCapo.com. So thanks so much for Page Capo being a great sponsor and doing that. So
yeah,
we're going to give out a lot of free. We're going to give a free capo away every week on the Hometown Bluegrass Show.
That is so cool. Yeah, that is so cool.
Yep. Hopefully we can keep this thing going weekly. So
I hope so, because I have a lot of fun doing it. I really enjoy it.
Me too. Well, I'll tell you what I'm about to enjoy and looking forward to, and that's talking to Russell Moore.
Oh, shorty.
So we're going to get Russell on the phone here in just a minute, and we're going to have at him and have some good times with Russ. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Yeah, that's right.
For over 50 years, Puckett's Jewelry in Benton, Kentucky has been a trusted choice for fine jewelry that will last a lifetime and help you celebrate life's most precious moments. The new owners, Bart and Hannah Lewis, are excited to continue the Puckett's Jewelry legacy in Marshall County and are proud to support bluegrass music. Puckett's Jewelry on the square in Benton, Kentucky. Visit them online at puckettsjewelry.com.
Discover the hidden gems of Kentucky's Great River Road, winding through Ballard, Carlisle, Hickman, and Fulton counties along the mighty Mississippi River. From breathtaking river views to charming small towns, this scenic byway offers adventure at every turn. Explore rich history, savor local flavors, and enjoy outdoor activities like hiking, fishing, and wildlife watching. Kentucky's Great River Road, where the beauty of the Mississippi meets the heart of small town Kentucky. Come for the journey, stay for the experience. Plan your trip today at kygrro.com.
Hey, this is Josh Williams for Page Capos. The Page Capo is lightweight, durable, and quickly attaches and allows you to change frets with ease. With controlled tension capabilities, Page Capo always stays in tune. But don't just take my word for it. Page Capos is also used by folks like Vince Gill, Ron Block, Tim O'Brien, Cody Kilby, Tommy Emmanuel, and James Taylor. So don't trust just any capo. Use what the pros use. Listen to the Hometown Bluegrass Show podcast for your chance to win a Page Capo on every episode. Do what I do and trust Page Capos. Order online at PageCapo.com.
Mark your calendars now for Saturday, November 23rd, as two of the hottest bands in bluegrass music, Authentic Unlimited and Southern Legacy, are banding together with several of your favorite bluegrass artists to present an unforgettable evening of music at the Mountain Arts Center in Prestonsburg, Kentucky. Special guests will include the Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Larry Cordell, Balsam Ranch's own award-winning bass player Tim Surratt, also appearing is Jesse Wells from Tyler Childers and the Food Stamps. Many more guest artists to be announced soon. Blue Debut will be opening the show at 7 p.m. Get tickets now at macarts.com and be a part of this incredible event. The artists are generously donating their time and talent to benefit the charity organization Samaritan's Purse. By banding together, we can all make a difference. Get your tickets today at macarts.com.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Hometown Bluegrass Show. Yo. I'm your host, Tim Batts, along with my buddy, Josh Williams.
Hello.
And we are really excited about our buddy that's on the phone right now, the voice of bluegrass music.
Ooh, I like that.
Russell
yes, the voice.
Moore.
The voice of bluegrass.
Uh-huh. What do you think about
wow.
that?
Wow. Wow, That's high accolades right there, you know, to not qualify with anything else. I don't know. I know there's one sitting beside you there, Tim. I mean, everybody knows.
Well, that's true.
Josh is a very gifted singer. In fact,
I remember
one time, seriously, I mean, we came out of the awards show at the IBMA one year, and you were up for it, and I was up for it, and I happened to win that night, and I saw you in the parking lot. You said, "You're the only guy that I'll be okay losing to."
My mom, my own mother was there. Yeah, she was there that night, and she said, "Well, if you're going to lose to Russell Moore, you know."
Oh my gosh.
I think your mom she was pulling for Russell.
She probably was. Yeah. She probably voted for Russell.
Probably voted for him, yeah.
No. A mother would not do that to her own son.
I don't know, man. She likes your voice awful lot.
Oh man.
Well, that's very nice. Well, if this qualifies for anything, I like your voice a whole lot. Okay, Josh. So, you know, whether your mother likes your voice or not, I do. Okay.
Well, thank you, Russell. And, you know, all these years later, we finally got to record something together, you know, thanks to Joe Mullins. We got to do the Larry Sparks tribute song on the
medley.
Industrial Strength.
Yeah. Medleys. Yeah.
Yes. Very cool.
That was absolutely awesome.
That was so much fun. I wish we could have all been there together at the same time. You know what I mean? That would have been so much fun.
That would have been even better. That would have been great. You know, just logistics didn't allow that to happen. But I thought with all of us kind of doing it, you know, separately in our own little studio places, then that it sounded like we were there together.
It sure did. It sounded very good, man.
It turned out great. You know, Bradley Walker. I mean, there's another voice in bluegrass music as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah.
He can flat get it done. Mm-hmm. And just to be on that project, which is a really significant project, you know, historically, you know, when you look at the history of bluegrass music and how they were saying people moved from maybe the Appalachian Mountains or areas and moved into Ohio, you know, to find a job to work, and all this great bluegrass music is coming out of that area. So it's a big part of the history of bluegrass music. It really is.
Absolutely.
So you guys never shared a stage together?
Now, we've been on stage together.
Oh, have you?
But we've never
recorded
anything together.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's cool.
No.
Yeah.
Not until that. And maybe we'll get a chance to do that again.
Yeah, I hope so, man.
And that would be a blast.
I definitely hope so.
Well, I want to
maybe we can get Joe Mullins to pay for all of it.
There you go. That's the way to do it.
Oh, man. I want to go
you
ahead.
You know,
and,
I love you, Joe.
That's right, Joe. Hey, I want to talk about this bass player you got. You know, he's from my hometown here in La Center, Kentucky. So
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, you know, when you guys came to Mimi's Pizza here in La Center, you know, I live about 2 miles from there, and Colton lives about 6 miles from there. So
y'all are neighbors then. That's really cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. If you're Ballard County, you're a neighbor. Well, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's what he said. He said it's a pretty tight county. You know, everybody knows everybody.
Exactly. We're a small bunch of rural people here.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. You want to talk about Colton Baker. Man, I'm been so impressed with this guy. He's a great talent.
Yeah.
I guess you always hear that, you know, especially being his age.
Yeah.
But that really does fit the bill in this instance here, in this scenario. He really has a lot of great talent.
Yeah.
And it's genuine talent. He can sing like a bird, plays great guitar, bass, and he's been less than 2 years now, but still what he has done, I mean, he has really sparked all of us, I think, to be the best we can be because he's pushing. I mean, he'll push you.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what I'm saying? You know, sometimes it takes a band member change and I don't mean nothing bad. I mean, we've had several band member changes here in the past. A few anyhow.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you first get the news, it's like, oh man, this is not what I want. I'm really enjoying what's going on. But sometimes it takes that to ignite a little or to spark a little combustion, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it gets everybody else going. You feed off the new vibe and with Colton, it's been a big spark. I mean, he's really, I don't know. He just makes us all realize that we still got some stuff in us, you know. I'm talking about more about me and Wayne being the elder statesman of the group now. You know, we used to be the youngest guys, and now we're the oldest guys. Yeah. And sometimes you just need a little kick in the pants.
Yeah.
To get the juices flowing. And like I said, I'm not taking away anything from anybody that's ever been here, but he's just brought something that has been creative for us, for us all. Just thinking about the possibilities we have moving forward. He's just a great guy to travel with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's pretty laid back.
He's definitely older than his age.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Put it that way.
Well, his harmonies with you on your new song Bluegrass, you know, him singing tenor, man. Whew.
Isn't that really cool?
It
man,
is.
I really love singing with this guy. He really is a great artist in his own right.
Yeah.
But what he has brought here is but we're all looking forward to getting back in the studio and record some sides with Colton.
Yeah.
On the bass and vocals.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited about that. I'll tell you a funny story real quick. Me, his parents and I are really good friends, and we went to Rudy Fest year before last, and he had just started with you. Matter of fact, I think Rudy Fest was his third time out with Third Time Out, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And so, anyway, but I was talking to him afterwards, and he said, I said, so, man, has it really hit you yet? You know, you're singing with Russell Moore in Third Time Out, man. And he goes, you know, it really didn't hit me until about the third or fourth time I sang with him. He goes, I'm standing back there, and you were singing Erase the Miles. And he goes, all of a sudden, right in the middle of that song, it hit me. I'm singing with Russell Moore, and we're singing Erase the Miles.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So he said, that's really, really first hit him, you know. So I thought that was cool.
That is cool. Well, that's good to know. I mean, I'm really glad that he, is excited.
Yeah.
About being a part of the group. I mean, he's definitely doing a great job at what he does and adding a great element to this ensemble of Third Time Out. I'll be honest, this is one of my favorite ensembles of Third Time Out that I guess that there's ever been. Here again, I'm not throwing off on anything or anybody. I'm just saying it works with the five that we have on stage right now. Everybody really gets along well on and off stage, and that creates harmony on stage and lets you free up and just go for it. Mm-hmm. Do your job. There's nothing else you're thinking about.
That's right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it does make a difference. And I love what he has brought to Third Time Out, and look forward, like I said, I look forward to getting to the studio and cutting some sides with him. I think it's going to be special.
Absolutely. Is there anything in the works there? Thinking about next year, are you guys going to do something in the studio? Or
I've got a couple that are in the can and we're going to be releasing over the next few months, seven months or whatever.
Awesome.
I still don't have enough recorded yet to make a full CD, or a full record, 10, 12 right. size. I still don't have enough for that, but I'm hoping, you know, over the winter, this winter, 24 and 25, that we'll get back in the studio and cut a few more sides with Colton actually playing the bass and singing harmony. Fact is, I'd love to hear him cut lead on something for Third Time Out.
That would be
special.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think we would all enjoy that. And
yeah. Well, I thought it was awesome, even at Rudy Fest, the year before last, when he was just started with him, but you let him sing lead on I forget, it was an old home place or one of the old standard bluegrass songs, but I can't remember what it was, but I thought that was real classy. Just
I think the Sunny Side of the Mountain.
Sunny Side of the Mountain. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
And did an awesome job. And he's got a couple more that he's doing now, but that are not recorded. We haven't recorded anything with Colton yet. But I would love to, on our next studio visit, I'd love to get him to sing lead on something. For that project that we're working on, I think he deserves it. He needs to put his voice out there.
Yeah,
as much as anybody that I know of right now, that's a young up and coming bluegrass player.
Well, Russell, you know just as well as I do that a lot of the young kids that are coming up can just pick the hell out of something, but they can't sing.
And that's just the case a lot of times.
Yeah, and I'm so glad.
Not all the time.
No, of course. But, you know, there's just, they focus on the picking, and, you know, that nobody sits down and you know, tries to sing a hole in the middle of a song or something, you know. And it's so refreshing when you see somebody that can do that, and they are young.
Yeah, and they've already got that mentality.
Yes.
That's something special for sure. And I'll be honest with you, when I was just starting to listen to bluegrass music, I'd listen to Bill and Roe and Flat Scruggs, Stanley Brothers. I'd listen to a little bit of that. But it wasn't until I heard Bobby Osmond's voice, and that was like, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. And even though the music was great as well, Bobby was playing some great mandolin. And I'm talking about, you know, when I first started listening to him, I was listening to their 60s recordings, with Dale Sled and Sonny's banjo playing was spot on. Sonny Osmond's style. I mean, it was so unique.
Mm-hmm.
But it was his voice that just like, whoa, I can sink my teeth into that right there. So it was the vocal
yeah.
above anything, all in anything else. That's what it was for me. And it has gone through an era where, like Josh like you were saying, it's kind of like, okay, man, they focus more on the playing, on the picking. Maybe not as much on the vocal side. Mm-hmm. But Colton has definitely learned the vocal side for
yes.
sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're tickled. We're just tickled to death to have him in the group.
Yeah, me too. I think it's great. So you guys are gonna you got a little time off now, right? Before you start playing again and touring again.
Yeah, it worked out this year. We've actually got the month of November and December off. I've always taken for years. I've taken the month of December off. I just felt like, there's opportunities out there to go perform in December for sure, especially with the holidays and all. A lot of shows like that. But I always thought we should give that to our families. They mm-hmm. deserve that as much as yeah. anything else, because they let us go out here and run the road and play mm-hmm. our shows and have fun and do guy things, you know, pick on each other and that kind of thing. And they sit at home waiting for us to get back. Mm-hmm. So at least around the holidays, we can give them that. So for many years, I've always taken the month of December off. And this year, it just worked out that we've got this month off as well. So we'll hit it back again come January. We'll, you know, get the wheels rolling again. The third time out and got several shows already lined up for 2025. So we're tickled about that.
That's great. Well, now I have to address an elephant in the room because we heard what you might call a rumor that you might be going out with somebody else next year for a little bit. So I was wondering if you happened to be able to talk about that at all, because I know a lot of people.
No, I really, I cannot confirm nor deny.
That's awesome.
I will say, I've got something going on, but there'll be a lot of information coming out very soon.
Okay.
And I will be doing some different things along with Third Time Out in 2025.
So Third Time Out isn't going anywhere, right?
No, sir. No, that's not. I've got too much invested, and I still owe way too much money to get out now. Third Time Out. That's the bluegrass way.
That is the bluegrass way.
Bluegrass, you start with $2 million.
That's right.
There'll be more information coming out very soon.
Okay.
But no, Third Time Out is not. We're still intact, and we're going to be doing everything we can in 2025 as well. So
awesome.
Hold tight, and more info coming soon, put it that way.
Okay.
Stay
okay.
tuned.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. Yes.
So how I have to ask this question, because this is something that I've always wondered. How did you grew up in Texas, correct?
That's correct. Yes.
Okay. How did you end up in Georgia?
Oh, wow. Well, okay. I started playing bluegrass with a local group in Southeast Texas.
Would that be the Southern Connection?
No, that would actually be the Bluegrass Ramblers of Texas.
Ooh.
They Johnny Martin was the leader of the group, and had been, since its inception, played guitar, sang lead.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to know them because of a monthly show that my mom and dad would take us to, which is about an hour away from where I grew up. And I got to know them there. At one point, they needed a bass player, and I had been playing bass some, trying to learn all the instruments, you know, honestly, but the position opened up, and it was they all had full-time jobs, so we went out on the weekends and during the festival season, wintertime, it wasn't, we didn't do really much at all. But I joined the Bluegrass Ramblers of Texas, and through that group, traveling to some different festivals, I met up with Scott Vestal and his brother Curtis Vestal. Mm-hmm. And then we started, whenever we could, we at festivals or whatever, we would get together and play music. We would jam together, and then decided to put a group together, Southern Connection. And I moved up to Arlington between Dallas and Fort Worth. Mm-hmm. And again, I mean, we were working day jobs, construction jobs, and playing music as much as we could. We played every day. And we got a chance to go play the Doyle Lawson and Quicksilver Festival for Milton Harkey and Doyle in Denton, North Carolina. We got booked on that because Doyle had actually heard us perform. We opened a show for them as they were passing through Southeast Texas. They called us and asked if we would open a show for Quicksilver. So he heard us then, and he talked Milton into booking us on the Quicksilver Festival. And sight unseen. I mean, never heard of us, never heard anything of us, but he went on Doyle's word. You need to get these boys out here. So we decided, you know, why don't we just pick up stakes here? Because we couldn't sustain life playing music or bluegrass music in Texas. We couldn't. And so we decided we'll just pack up and head east and figure out where we're going to settle once we get over there. That's what we did. And through the help of Milton and several other people, we settled in Asheville, North Carolina. Played there like six nights a week.
Wow.
For almost a year, we would play six nights a week, usually four 45-minute nights or sets a night. And then after about a year of being there, that's when Doyle called and offered three of us a job with him. So we took that, moved across the mountain to Bristol, Tennessee. And I was there about 3 years. And at that time, Ray Deaton was living in Georgia, but he was playing bass and singing bass for Doyle. And I decided, well, he has to drive up to Bristol every week, just about it, and then back home. This is wearing him out. If I move down there, then we can ride together, and it'd be, make it easy, mm-hmm. make it easier. Wouldn't tack this up. I'll be honest. I mean, I didn't know how much longer he was going to have or going to be able to put up with that drive and doing it. And he was also helping drive the bus for Doyle. So he was really getting fatigued, and you could tell it. Yeah. And I could tell. And I thought, man, I don't want the guy to quit. I don't have any ties here, really. So move down to Georgia. And that's what brought me here to Georgia. Okay. And now, I mean, I've been here, you know, like, gosh, almost about 34 years now.
Wow.
Or longer. Yeah. I've been here in this house for 34 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Sometimes it amazes me when I start thinking about stuff.
I understand, man. I understand. Now, you and I shared a mutual friend back years ago who used to, in fact, the guitar that you play used to belong to him, a guy by the name of Doug Cole, and one of the greatest sound men, probably the best sound man for acoustic bluegrass music that's ever lived, honestly.
I'll second that notion.
Anytime that, it's, you know, you show up to a place and you see Doug there, you know, okay, everything's going to be okay. You know?
Yeah.
Doug was just like that. And then, of course, you know, he loved to cut up with everybody and all that. And So yeah, yeah. Miss him dearly. He was a good one.
He was a good one. Even towards the end of his life, you know he wasn't feeling the best, but he never let on.
Yeah.
He really didn't. It had to be pretty bad to take him out of here. So because he was a fighter.
Huge.
He was
a
fighter for sure. And talk about something. You mentioned you knew everything was going to be okay if you saw that Doug Cole was going to be there running sound. I've never heard anybody, even today, honestly, because when we first started playing over his sound systems and working with Doug, everything was still wedges, stage monitors.
Right.
There was, you know, in-ears were not anything that bluegrass was really accustomed to at that point.
Yes.
And I never heard anybody get open mics on stage with five different instruments and three, four, sometimes five vocals and have them crystal clear and no feedback and part your hair coming out of the stage monitors.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you do that? You know, because you need to, there's a lot of folks I know you need to talk to and kind of take them under your wing.
Huge, yeah.
And tell them how to go about doing this stuff. He was awesome. He really was. And he loved it.
Oh, yeah.
He loved it, I guess, as much as anybody.
You know, and at one time, he was actually a pretty good guitar player, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That guitar that you mentioned, that thing is, a lot of people don't know, some do. Doug was paralyzed from the waist down.
Mm-hmm.
And so most of the hours that he spent playing the guitar that I've got, I got through him, he played while sitting in his wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a wear mark on the binding on the backside of the bottom shoulder.
No kidding. Where he would rest it on the arm of the wheelchair?
Yes, sir.
Oh, and
I always wondered if that's where that came from, because I noticed it, you know, at one point I was like just looking the guitar over real good, and I noticed it's like, no, it's not chipped. It's not ragged at all. It's smooth as a baby's butt, you know, but it's wore down. How did that happen? And I always thought, man, I wonder if that's from his wheelchair, you know, resting on that arm. Well, I got a picture of him playing that in his wheelchair a couple of years ago, and that wear mark is exactly where it sat on the armrest of his wheelchair.
Oh, man.
So it was just from playing it hours and hours and hours with it sitting in that same spot all the time, and it wore the binding down. I don't know if I ever showed you that, but I have to show y'all next time we're together. I got to show you that spot.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. I didn't realize
it's,
that.
It's like, I mean, all you got to do is show me that, and I can tell you if that's my guitar or not, or if that's the one that he was playing. Because I've never seen another type of guitar like that had that kind of wear on it like that.
Is that the one you play all the time on stage now?
It is.
What year is it? It's a Martin, I know.
That's a 1938 Herringbone D28.
Wow. Yeah.
And that fella sitting across from you there, Tim, I'm going to tell you right now, he told me one time he wanted to paint that darn thing perfect. Somebody wanted to paint it purple, and he said that to me, and I looked at him like, boy, you've lost your mind.
Yeah, he did. That happened. Third time out, came up to do bluegrass on the court square in Benton.
Oh.
And my dad's older brother, Uncle Reg, Reggie Williams, was there, and he and Doug were best friends.
I think we've talked about this.
We have talked
on
about
the podcast.
This has actually been on our show before.
Yes.
But
oh, wow.
Yeah. Uncle Reg was there, and he knew that he had never met you before, so he wanted to go up and just, you know, kind of mess with you. You hadn't had that guitar very long, like only a couple of months or a few months by that point.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, yeah, he said he wanted to come up and put like a purple with with a sparkle and all this kind of stuff.
Oh,
and,
my Lord.
And some kind of shellac over it, you know, and all this stuff. And you could just see Russell, his eyes were just getting bigger and bigger, and he just reached out and grabbed that guitar and took it. And my Uncle Reg started laughing, and he said, you know, told him who he was. But, yeah, that was awesome. That was so funny. I had no idea he was going to do that either. But that's how he was.
I wondered if you were the one that put who.
No, I promise I didn't.
That was a funny. That was a funny story, though. I mean, I was young. That was in 94.
Mm-hmm. Wow, 30 years ago.
Like Josh said, I hadn't had it long. And it's like, man, I never thought I'd actually have one of these in my hands.
Yeah.
That I could carry around with me and play all the time. It's a very prized possession, not just because of that, but because of where it came from and mm-hmm. my friendship with Doug and all that and the history there. But it took me aback. I'm sure my jaw hit the floor when he started talking about, that's got some pretty good wear on it, you know, in that finish right there. It's got some pretty good wear. I can take all that off of there and, man, paint this purple, you know, put flakes in it, and just really nice shellac on. I mean, it'll look like you can stick your arm through it when I get done with it. And I'm thinking, no, you may never ever touch this guitar again as long as you live or as long as I live. One of the two. That's been a funny story through the years for me and Josh. We reminisce about that story.
Yeah, yeah. Uncle Reg and Doug were best friends for many, many years.
That's funny.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I'm like you. I miss Doug very much.
Absolutely. He was a good one, man. He should have written a book about how to run a sound system for acoustic music.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. You're not wrong. He could enlighten a whole lot of people in this business.
Absolutely.
He really could. And even some that are not in this business that need to read the book, you know. I don't care how much money you spend on a sound system. If you don't know how to run it for an acoustic band, it don't matter.
No, it doesn't.
It don't matter how much you spend on it.
Exactly.
You know? No.
Yep. You can buy a $10,000 set of cookware. Ain't gonna make you cook like Paula Deen.
Lord, no. 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 And. I love Southern cooking, I'll be honest with you. And I love that style of cooking, which she has always done best. I mean, I love it like nobody else, but I sure don't want to go through the trouble of trying to make it.
No. Absolutely right. Not. Russell, thanks so much for joining us on this, man. This has been just really cool, really cool thing. So thank you. We really appreciate you being here.
No, man, thank y'all for having me on. I'm glad it finally worked out where we get this done.
Oh, yes.
And I'd love to do it again.
You got it, man. You're always welcome here.
Yeah, okay. We need to catch where you're playing sometime and come interview you live for it. So,
hey, that'd be, there you go. Yeah. I like that plan, too.
That'd be awesome.
That would be fun. That would be, I'm all up for it. So let's plan on scheduling that again here.
Absolutely.
In the future.
Well, I'm heading this weekend to Charleston, South Carolina to see my brother-in-law and sister, Angela and Michael Merle. So I'll be sure and slap Michael when I get there for you, okay?
Well, please do. You know, when we were there in the center, he wasn't able to make it. He was so upset. He got ill.
Yeah. Well, we went to Maggie Valley last fall to the Smoky Mountain Bluegrass Festival, which we had been doing for several years. He got COVID and couldn't go to the festival, had to stay in the cabin the whole time. So they come here, they said to see me, but mainly I think it was to see you. And because you were going to be right here in the center, I said, you're coming to see me and Russell's going to be singing 2 miles from my house. Yeah, right. But and then he gets deathly ill the day before and is literally in bed just pardon me, but crapping his brains out all and couldn't even go up there. So.
Well, I bet he's going to appreciate you sharing that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I don't care.
Tim said he looked like he'd been mud wrestling for a half an hour.
That's right.
I guarantee. Well, I'll tell you what, the best half of that couple right there did make it to the show. It was a pleasure to see Angelo.
That's right. My sister.
I told him the same thing. I actually got to talk to him a few days later because I wanted to make sure he was okay. And he said, well, I really hate that I couldn't make it. I said, well, best half of y'all did make it to the show. It's okay.
That's right. Yeah. Everybody says I got all the looks but in the siblings. She got the personality. So, she's so ugly.
Oh, man. Yeah. They're both great people. I love them to death.
Yeah, they love you too. That's for sure. So, yeah. Well, thank you, buddy.
Well,
man.
Let's plan on doing this again.
Yes, sir. You got
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Sounds good. Hey, we want to play one of your songs for you when we head out. What song can we play that you'd you want us to play one of your new ones or one of your old ones or we want to end with one of your songs?
Well, one of the new ones would be fine. I'd rather have something a little upbeat so we can end on a charged up kind of note.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, so, what do you think?
Let's see. Yeah,
what have you got handy that you can pull up?
Well, I'm looking here. I got, bluegrass comes up, but yeah, it's kind of slow, ain't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's nice love song and all, and it's doing good for us.
Yeah, how about Headed East to West Virginia? That's probably my favorite song.
Yeah, okay. You can do that.
Okay.
Sure.
I love
that
song.
That works for me. That's good. I tell you what, we heard that demo, and it's like that's third time out, right?
Oh
there.
Man, I tell you what, I play it on my radio show all the time, and I think it's one of the best songs I've heard in a long time. So
now
I love it too. I love the hook on it.
When people want to check you out online, how do they do that? How do they go to thirdtimeout.com? Is it the number three? Is it the
IIIRD, as in a Roman numeral three, which is three capital I's.
Gotcha.
So it's three I's, RD, and then, of course, TYMEOUT.com. Or you can Google Russell Moore and Third Time Out, and you'll find a link to our social stuff off of there as well. So
okay, great.
That's right.
And we encourage everybody to come see what kind of high-tech rednecks we are.
That's right, man. That's right. If you've never seen Russell Moore and Third Time Out in concert live, then you need to go do it, please, because you will be thoroughly thrilled and have a great time.
So. Oh, my gosh, yeah. And you'll be listening and seeing one of the greatest singers in our generation.
The voice
voice of bluegrass.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. That means a lot.
Hey, we love you, man. We love you so much and appreciate you being with us.
Love y'all, too, and look forward to the next time.
All right, us too. Here's Russell Moore, Third Time Out, with Headed East to West Virginia on the Hometown Bluegrass Show.
It was last December. Fell in love, so I bought her a ring. I never thought I'd see the day I'd be leaving Texas. All my things and cross that Mississippi. Heading east to West Virginia. I told that girl that I'd be there, and I said what I mean. She called me on the phone and told me, boy, I miss you. When I left Dallas, it was cold and stormy, rained so hard that I could barely see. But if it takes me all day and night, I'll be there by morning. I ain't wasting time, she's counting on me. Heading east to West Virginia.
Virginia.
A mighty fine picking and a singing.
Oh man, I love that song.
That is a good one.
I love him. He's so fun.
That's a good one.
Yeah, buddy. Headed east to West Virginia. Well, so good to talk to Russell Moore, man.
What a guy.
Yeah. Great guy. Great guy. One of the best singers to probably ever strap on a Martin guitar and get behind a microphone. That's for sure.
I believe that's true.
So cool, man. Well, been a good one, man. It's been a great episode. Had lots of fun. Got to listen to you actually forget lyrics for the very first time. I didn't think it was possible.
Oh, it's extremely possible. Trust me.
Oh, man. Oh, well, that's a great one. So,
the worst that ever happened, though, was whenever I was playing with the Bluegrass Album Band, and we were doing Blue Ridge Cabin Home. And that third verse after Tony's guitar break, like I got caught up in Tony listening to him pick, you know, and I got a little emotional listening to him because he was having a hard time, you know, but the fact that he was there was so awesome.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know the words.
Oh,
and,
man.
Yeah, I mean, there was a whole bunch of memes going around, you know, with like there was one of James King that says, I might cry during a song, but I've never cried during Blue Ridge Cabin Home, you know, and stuff like that. So a lot of
funny.
That stuff, but
yeah. Oh, well.
Anyway, it happens, man.
Happens to the best
it
of
do.
You.
It do.
That's
it
for
do.
Sure. Well, cool. Well, y'all thank you for joining us. We have a great episode set coming up next week. We got a great one coming too. Marty Raven's going to be our guest on the next show. So
look at us rocking out with the big stars,
man.
Man,
we throwing names and changing faces.
Wait, what?
I don't know. Sounded good.
It did sound good. It was cool. Yeah. I smelled what you stepping in.
Appreciate you. Bye.
Thanks, y'all.
Been a Bats Creative Audio production.